Welcome to Revive Illinois, a podcast about seeking a new season of life in the church all across the land of Lincoln. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association.
Guys, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for your continued faithful ministry as you serve the Lord. And in this week's podcast, we're going to share the audio from our monthly revitalization webinars. We are resuming those. And Mark Emerson and I, along with Jack Lucas, we had a great discussion about the importance of casting vision. You know, vision is absolutely crucial. We need to get God's vision for our ministry, and then we need to cast it effectively, and the Lord wants to use us to do that. So I just pray that as you listen to this webinar, that it's a blessing. And if I can help you with anything at all, please email me, scottfoshi@ibsa.org. That's scottfoshi@ibsa.org. We are here to serve you as you seek another chapter of health and life in your ministry. So don't just listen to the information about it, but let us help you and walk you through. We've got lots of resources related to this webinar. Just email me if you want more info, scottfoshi@ibsa.org. And here's Mark to start us out in the webinar. Have a great week.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Revitalization Webinar. I'm Mark Emerson, and I'm with Scott Foshi. Scott, we have a great subject today to discuss. Anytime that you and I get together and we can discuss vision, especially God's vision for a church, that's going to be an exciting conversation. So thank you for being with us today and walking through the subject. And maybe you're here and you're listening live. We're so glad that you have tuned in live to the webinar. Maybe you're watching the recording of the webinar. Whichever way that you've chosen to join with us, we are so excited that you are here. Hey, let me give you kind of a quick update on how to ask us questions. You can ask us questions by finding the toolbar right there to the right-hand side of your screen. There'll be a question tab. Go ahead and type a question in there. Those questions will be confidential. And our own Jack Lucas is manning the questions today. Some of those he may choose to communicate with you as you type those in, or he will come on to the webinar with us and he'll ask your question for you. He'll keep your name confidential as you walk through that. There's also a chat bar there near the question bar that you can chat and you can talk with everybody that's in the webinar today if you choose to do that. So we do want to hear from you, want you to participate in our conversation to the best that you can, and we're happy to take those questions. Scott's team, the revitalization team at IBSA, would like to give you a gift for participating in the webinar. If you have not already received a copy of the book that we've been walking through, and we realize, Scott, that we've been paused for many, many weeks because of COVID. We were almost completed with the book, and now we're back, going to get it completed, and we're going to turn the page and head off in another direction. But if you have not received a copy of the revision book by Aubrey Malfers, we would love to make that our gift to you by participating. And all you have to do to request that book is to send an email to Tammy Ratch at ibsa.org, and she'd be happy to put that in the mail to you. You might want to go back, if you are reading it, go back and catch up on the conversations we've had about the different chapters, and you may find that'd be a good opportunity to kind of process that with you. Scott, welcome. Thank you so much for jumping in and walking through chapter 10 with us.
Thanks, Mark. It is good to be back. It seems like the last time we talked about this book was in March. It was like the week before the shutdown. And so I do encourage everybody, we've got all the episodes there. If you go to the Revitalization Team page on our website, we've got all those episodes there for you. We'll offer this in a video format and also in a podcast format. There's lots of different ways for you to have this. And we really do want you to have this free book. We think it'll encourage you. And one thing you're going to hear Mark say and me say a lot is, don't just read about it. Don't just watch the video, but let us help you, because we're here to have a conversation with you that's ongoing. And in today's episode, Mark, we're really looking at chapter 10. We're kind of zeroing on that particular chapter. And this is a topic I think that maybe sometimes as Southern Baptists, we are a little wary of, because we don't want to be charismatic, too charismatic. But at the same time, we understand that God is a God of vision. We have a visionary God. And we see that, in Genesis, he created the heavens and the earth for nothing. He had a vision for what he wanted to make. And now he's working off of a vision to restore his creation. And we can see that all through scripture. And in chapter 10, Malthus is going to talk about the importance of casting vision. We as leaders need to cast vision. That's part of the calling that he's given us as ministry leaders. And the vision doesn't just need to be for the mind. It needs to stir the heart. It needs to be compelling. And God has to give you a vision as a leader that stirs your heart, and then you share that with others. And there's a couple of scriptures, Mark, that kind of give us that foundation. In Proverbs 29:18, the first part of that verse, the King James Version says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The other translations say the people are unrestrained. What the scripture's saying there is you need a vision from God about the ministry direction of your life, or you're going to wander in the wilderness. And I like what Pat Pajak reminds us. He says churches without vision can take the W off and say, here there is no vision, the people perish. So there is a real biblical foundation for us having a specific vision for how God wants us to lead our ministries that stirs our hearts as leaders that we share with the people. But then here's another thing, Mark, as we begin the conversation, we need to have a close relationship with the Lord to receive vision. We need to be spiritually healthy. And we're never going to be perfect this side of heaven, but we've got to be spiritually healthy. And we're reminded of what Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So as we begin this conversation, we're going to talk a lot of different aspects around the casting vision, but we need a healthy relationship with the Lord and realize that casting vision, we want to cast God's vision, don't we, Mark?
We do. And thank you for bringing Proverbs 29 the forefront there, because I love the picture of that verse, which when you look into the Hebrew, you've used the word, it basically with no vision, the sheep will just wander around. And why that was dangerous, because when they're wandering around by themselves, what happens is they're open to all kinds of dangers, and they lose their life. And right. Scott, boy, that is a picture of a lot of ministries today, floundering and wandering.
That's right.
We need a biblical vision. I love when the author gave the illustration here of Haddon Robinson gave the illustration of Walt Disney. So he says, as Christian leaders, we need to have something in common with Walt Disney. And I love it. It says, isn't it too bad that Walt Disney didn't live to see the development of Disney World or Disneyland? You know, didn't get to see how that vision was you know, came into being. And I love the phrase from Mike Vance, creative director of Disney Studios, when he said he did see it. That's why it's here. You know, and that is so true. It's going to be hard for us to teach a pastor that truth. But pastor, you, in order to have a godly vision, God's going to give you a vision, and you're going to have to see it. You're going to have to see it, and you're going to have to buy into it, and then allow it to flow out from you and spill all over everybody else so that you can see it. The most effective pastors that I've been around, Scott, have been those that God has just made it so clear that they can see it, and they know how to get there. And so it's a bridge, isn't it? It's a bridge from where we are to where we need to be.
That's right. And even though maybe Disney World and Disneyland didn't look like maybe the exact way that Walt Disney envisioned it, the big things came to pass. And it was because he spent years looking after that vision. And I know that's a secular example, but it's such a powerful example, like you said, Mark. And Malthus reminds us that vision is essential to any ministry. And again, it's God's vision. I think what God does, Mark, maybe this is the best way to maybe say it. Tell me what you think. But I think God has a grand vision for everything and reaching people with his love. But as his shepherd, as his under shepherd that we serve him, he gives us a specific ministry vision for our context. It's part of his overall plan, but he reveals to us things that stir our heart. And ministry without a clear God-inspired vision is futile, is what Malthus says, because it fails to articulate what God has called us to do. And if the ministry doesn't know what it's called to do, then it's just spinning its wheels. And we also see Malthus saying to attempt the revitalization of a church without a clear, compelling vision is like asking a surgeon to operate without a scalpel. You need to have a sharp tool, and a carpenter can't build without a hammer. And I think we as Baptists, a lot of times we're very mission focused. We know the mission. We know what we're called to do day in and day out. But we need that picture and that snapshot of what God is leading us to and where God is leading us to, and people being touched with his love that stirs our hearts.
I love this scripture when in the very beginning of the book of Mark, where I believe they're at Peter's house or Peter's mother-in-law's house. Remember, they heal her, and then they all show up, you know, to be healed. And Jesus heads out the next morning. The Bible says he went to a solitary place and he prayed, and the disciples went looking for him. And they were informing him, hey, there's all kinds of people there in line waiting to be healed. And then Jesus told him, says, we're going to go to such and such a place. And I love this phrase, because that is why I came.
That is why I came. That's right.
He knew what he was supposed. It wasn't this vision kept him focused. And also every ministry decision he was making was from the filter of that vision that he had from God. Absolutely.
And I think, too, Mark, the vision is going to involve reaching people. The vision is going to involve people's lives transformed. That's the mental picture. And and there may be buildings involved. There may be other things involved with that. But it's always going to come back to loving people and reaching people with the gospel, making disciples, isn't it?
Absolutely. Hey, Scott, before we can talk about what vision is, we have to talk about what vision is not. And so here are four things that vision is not. All right. First of all, it's not the same as a dream. Okay.
That's right.
It's not the same as a dream. Maybe the main reason for that is dreams can be Mark Emerson centered. Mark Emerson has had all kinds of dreams. All right. A true godly vision is really the dream that God is dreaming for the church. All right. It's not goals and it's not objectives, because those goals and objectives, they should be flowing from the vision. All right. It is not the same thing as a purpose. Okay. It's not the same thing as a purpose. And it's not the same thing as the ministry's mission. All of those things that we're pretty used to talking about when we talk about strategic leadership, the vision is not found in the limitations of those particular things. If I could add one of those or two that may be more convicting to where we tend to be in ministry, a vision is not a vision Sunday, you know.
It can't be one week, no.
I know that's going to be convicting to some. It's not vision Sunday. It's not a cool looking PowerPoint, you know. It's not a way of being able to manipulate the people of the church to do something maybe they're not doing, you know. It's a lot deeper than that. It's what God places in the heart of the leader to just reveal what he's about to do, what he wants to have done within that place. This is a great opportunity to go back to Henry Blackaby and start bringing back all the things that he said about having a God-sized vision compared to a man-sized vision. And don't get stuck in what it's not. We really have to understand what it is. So Scott, tell us a little bit about what it actually is.
Yes, and Mark, you articulated that so clearly, the things that it's not. And here's what vision is. It is a clear and exciting. Notice that word exciting. It's okay to use that word. The emotions are involved. The heart is touched by the vision, and it's a picture. So, you know, the mission is what, and mission and all the things you mentioned, the mission, the purpose, the goals, the objectives, they're all important. But we just need to understand there's a difference between those things and the mission and the vision. The vision is a picture of God's future for your ministry as you believe it can and must be. And that's what God has revealed to you. So really, the vision is a snapshot. The vision is a mental picture that stirs your heart. And we see that in this next screen, the vision stirs the heart. The purpose of the mission, Malfer says, is to inform. So, for instance, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not a vision. It's a mission, and we are all working together with a common mission as Illinois Baptists to accomplish the Great Commission. We have been called Great Commission Baptists, and that's our mission. But to me, a vision would be like that scene in Revelation of all the people, the nations, the tribes, and tongues, people from all over the world coming to know Jesus. That stirs my heart, Mark, when I can imagine. When I pastored at Stillville, you know, to be able to think about people walking around those streets and their families transformed by the gospel, that's a mental picture that drove me in my pastorate. And those of you who are pastoring, you need to have that mental picture of lives being transformed. And if you need to see that scene in heaven, it's great. The source of the mission is the head, Malfer says, but but that of the vision is the heart. And Mark, I think maybe that's one thing we need to remind everybody and remind ourselves. It's okay to ask God to stir our emotions, and it's okay to ask God to stir our heart.
So, Scott, when I was a church planter, our youth leader at the time was working part-time. He was a student at Lincoln Christian, and was coming down and working with us. And he came into our rented space there in the church plant. He came in the rented our rented space, and he was down. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Nobody wants to come to our youth group. There's really no kids that we can reach." Hmm. And I remember putting him in my old beat up Ford car and driving around our ministry area. And every time that we'd see a teenager, I'd pause and I'd point to the teenager and I'd say to him, I'd say, "Hey, Dave," I said, "see that kid right there?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Dave," I said, "that kid's in your youth group. He just don't know it yet."
That's right.
We spent the whole morning just driving around, and I just kept pointing out possibilities. That kid over there, he's in your youth group. He just doesn't know it yet until he got it, until he finally got it to see the potential. I think vision is that opportunity that helps us see it. Let's walk through the definitions of the difference between what a mission and a vision could be. All right. So a mission really is a statement. It's something that we put up on our wall. This is what we're about. But a vision is a snapshot. We see a preferred future that God has given to us. We can explain it because we can see it. All right. What is its function? A mission statement is very helpful in our planning. All right. It helps us plan ministries. It helps us offer. It gives us opportunities to create objectives and goals. But vision helps us to communicate it. It helps us to share, "Hey, this is what it looks like. This is how we can make it happen." It's the, "You see that kid right there? He's in your youth group. You know, he just doesn't know it yet." The length, a mission is short, but a vision could be short or it could be long term. All right. God might give us a vision that's going to take a while for us to see it fulfilled. The purpose, a mission informs us while the vision inspires us. I like what you said. A mission might grab the mind or the intellect, but a vision grabs our heart. All right. Mm-hmm. The source of the mission is the head and the vision is the heart and the development. A mission can be taught, but a vision is caught. And if you've ever been around people with vision, you know that their vision is oozing out of them and it gets all over you. That's why people follow visionary people. That's why we say that money follows vision, because people give towards vision, you know, and does that. I love Malfer's definition here.
Yeah, that's so true. And vision, you know, you think about all the different aspects of what you've just described, Mark, in more detail. Malfer tells us, first of all, the vision is clear. So you've got to have a specific picture. There needs to be a specific mental scene that God gives you as a part of the vision for your ministry. And I think that's where a lot of us are afraid maybe to listen to the Lord. I don't know why we're afraid. We're afraid of maybe what might be involved in achieving that vision. Or I think a lot of times, Mark, we as leaders just get discouraged. And so we get into this place where we're just kind of going through the daily routine and we forget to ask God to just give us this clear vision that's also exciting. And it is a picture. It is a scene. So remember, mission is what we do. A vision is a scene of what God can do, what he can do. Like you said, that young person that could be part of the youth group. For me as pastor, it was seeing families transformed by the gospel, walking the streets of the town. Prayer walking is a great time for God to give you vision. You know, Absolutely. If you're a ministry leader, walk around your town and ask God to give you vision. Churches that think there's nobody to reach, just get out and walk around and see the people that are around you. And I guarantee the Lord's going to lay needs on your heart. And a vision is not man's vision. It is God's vision. We're not seeking after some artificial thing that we create. Like you said, with experiencing God, God is the one that's at work around us. And we want to look for his invitation for us to join him in his work. That's when he gives us the vision. And yes, Mark, there's no way around this. The vision has to be future focused. I think one of the problems in many of our churches, Mark, and many pastors, those of you watching this program, listen to it, you probably identify with this. Many of your church people are living in the past. And there's some point in the past that they remember, and they are attached to all the physical things from that past chapter. And God needs to give them a new vision for reaching people that is future focused. It's not that those things in the past are bad. We need to celebrate that, but we need to be future focused. And then I love what Malfers finishes it with. It can be because God said it will be done, and it must be because it's what God has called. And when God gives us a vision, that's something that comes from heaven and earth. I remember one time I met Henry Blackaby and had something on my heart. And I asked him if I should talk to somebody or should follow through on this thing. And he said, Scott, who told you to do that? And I said, well, the Lord. And he said, Scott, the God of the universe told you to do that. And he said, if I were you, I think I would do what the God of the universe told you to do. And so I like what Aubrey Malfer says here is it can be and it must be because God said it.
Absolutely. What a great statement. All right. Here's a little bit more practical way of looking at vision. Scott and I are going to try to make these come alive to you a little bit. Let me take the first one. Hey, here's the first step of an envisioning process. Step number one, pray envisioning prayers. Pray envisioning prayers. I love your statement about, hey, let's walk around our ministry area and let's ask God, you know. Or maybe Grandpa Emerson would say to me, he'd say, pray through something. And I'd ask him, I said, what does that mean to pray through something, Grandpa? He said, pray until you're through. if you don't have a vision, let's ask God to give you one. You know, let's pray envisioning prayers. And then when we're praying for our ministry, pray that way so people can see it. Pray it so that they can get a hold of it, and they can grasp it. Let's make our prayers larger than they are now so that God can really begin to dream the dream within us. And what's great about that, Scott, is any dream that we can come up with, man, any vision that we can come up with, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. God's ready to blow us away, you know, in our visioning prayers. What's the next step?
That's right. The next one is think big. And we're not talking about necessarily a big building. It could be that if that's part of the tool that God wants you to do. But what I think Malfers is saying is think big, think in God doing major changes in people's lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, people being saved is always the biggest thing God can do. I'm reminded of Jesus when he walked around Israel and people got all excited about him feeding, like you mentioned earlier, doing the physical miracles. But the greatest miracle was always salvation. And so think big. And I think, Mark, that ties back into what you said a minute ago. Many times in our prayer meetings at church, we only go through physical needs, and we should pray for people's physical needs. But one way you can help your church catch a vision is to pray for people to be saved, to ask people to have a mental picture. Who is it that you know around you that needs to know Christ? And let's pray for them and incorporate those kind of prayers into your corporate prayer meetings, your family time, and your individual prayers. So think big.
Rick Warren blew me away one time, Scott, when he was training churches in the 40 days of purpose process years ago. And he used a phrase called exponential thinking, right? Mm. And what he said was, he said, hey, let's think about starting new groups. And he would say, Pastor, how many groups, when you look at your church, how many groups really need to start in the next 12 months? And I remember that my number was 3. And he said to us this training process, he says, okay, now I'm going to teach you about exponential thinking, because if you have your number, you're already kind of figuring out what it needs to happen in order for you to get that number that you have. And mine was 3. He said, here's what exponential thinking is. Put a 0 at the end of that number. So mine would be 30 instead of 3. He said, exponential thinking changes everything. Amen. You can't go after that bigger vision the same way you would go after that smaller vision, because it just wouldn't work. You have to change everything about that. And so I love that thinking, you know, we have to think bigger than we're currently thinking to be able to grasp a vision that only God can do. Here's step 3, connect emotionally with the vision. See, the vision, Scott, that's why we get up out of bed. That's why we show up early to work. That's why we're staying late, you know. That's why we're giving our life. Pastors, you are giving your life to that God called vision that you have. You know, so if you're not connected to it, you're not going to be contagious to give it to somebody else. So step three, connect emotionally. What's step four, Scott?
That's right. And you have to ask God to help you know what the vision is. I mean, it has to have contents. So you have to say, Lord, what is this mental picture that you're giving us? And it may be several years in the future, this snapshot that you see that God gives you. Ask God to give you the contents and seek him, pray with him, get other people in your church's leadership to pray with you. I think that's an exciting process. I know it's a struggle, Mark, but when you're asking God to give you that vision, what a beautiful time to build relationships with other leaders as you seek him together and ask him to tell you specifically what is this mental snapshot that's going to stir our hearts as we continue to lead.
Step five might hit us generationally because I remember the young pastor, Mark Emerson, he loved doing things in a few days. You know, God's given us this vision and we got to get this vision done by Sunday, you know. But really, when we're looking at a vision, God's also going to help us to determine the vision's length. All right. And I think that's where we have to use our wisdom here because, Pastor, we don't want to get you so excited about a vision that you literally leave everybody behind.
Yeah.
You got to bring everybody with you and be honest with it. That's going to take a long time. You know, we've mentioned some guys that are visionary. And one thing I think that we're going to find is that they were in there for the long haul. All right. They were continuing to go in that direction. They weren't giving up. They were keeping it fresh, but they were going in that same direction for quite some time.
That's right. That's right. And I think, Mark, like you said, and one thing, I think a pattern we're seeing in a lot of our churches is about every 5 to 7 years is a time for there to be a new, and that's not exact. That's going to change from church to church, but that seems to be a pretty good pattern that we're seeing is ask God to give you a vision for the next 5 to 7 years of your church. And then, Mark, I'm going to ask you to answer this one. What is this vision question? We've got to answer this question. What is the question we need to answer?
That's a really good question. And you know, it's also very specific to each of the, you know, each of the places that we serve. And so, it would be pretty presumptuous for me to answer everybody's question, but I will say this. All right. The vision question, will you be a church simply with a vision statement or will you be a truly visional church? And I think the difference between that is did it catch in your heart?
Yeah.
I mean, you can read something out of a book or you can borrow something from somebody else's, but did it catch in your heart?
And Mark, you know, yeah. I think people have a radar, don't they, if they know that you just did the vision statement because you were supposed to versus this is really something God gave us.
Scott, let's be a little bit more convicting and play the, hey, we're all family here card. It is a whole lot easier to develop a vision statement than to be truly visional, you know, visionary.
Yeah.
And there's a difference. It's not as risky to create a vision statement as it is to be visionary. Scott, you are a scholar on you know, prophecy and end times eschatology. I love this phrase that comes out of eschatology, said that help me if I'm wrong. The old men will see visions and the young men will dream dreams.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful picture, isn't it?
And I heard this pastor say one time, it said, and he was an older guy. He said, older guys like me get so frustrated that the next generation just doesn't see it. And they may not see it because we're not seeing the vision. If we'll see the vision and seize the vision, maybe the young guys will dream the dream. You know, that got me excited. It's easier to write a vision statement than really, truly to be visionary.
That's right. And we've got to do that. And like you said, Mark, it's God's plan during this church age that we're living in right now. You know, what a wonderful time we get to live in. It's a challenging time, but we are called to advance into darkness. And so that requires vision, and God's going to give it to us when we seek him. And I think, too, when we have vision, we need the mission to lead from our mind. But when we have the vision, we're able to lead from our heart and even lead with your feelings. And people respond to that. I mean, and we're not saying lead only with your feelings. Don't hear us wrong there. But it needs to be a part of visionary leadership. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your DNA. So let's move right on to Mark. And what makes a church visionary? I'm going to mention this first one. First of all, people are excited about the vision. I mean, This is not just something they see and they're like, ho-hum, but they are excited about it because it is the DNA of the church. What else makes a church visionary, Mark?
I think a good indication that you're a visionary church, if people want to be a part of the vision, you know. With that, I'm going to offer a warning. I noticed that when I was pastoring a church and we were getting ready to build a building, there would be a lot of people get really excited about coming and help that part of that process. But when the building was built, if there wasn't an engaging vision that followed that, then they were off to try to find something else. And so it's making sure the vision lasts long term and that you continue that. But yeah, man, if people want to be a part of what's happening, then that's a good indication that you're on the right track being a visionary church.
That's right. That's right. And then this next one, Mark, is a given, I think, too. People speak favorably about the vision. So if your church is visionary, it doesn't mean they're saying that it's easy necessarily, but they basically are buying in to what God has revealed. And they even people outside the church are excited for the church and the community because they know something's happening there. And they can see it. It's kind of like in Acts chapter 2, where it says that the church in Jerusalem had favor with all the people. And what it was saying was people knew there was something different about that church. They had vision. They had a vision to reach people with God's love.
Here's a real key one. And I tell you what, if churches can grab onto this, they're really going to be able to go farther, I think. But it's allowing the vision to impact all of the church's major decisions. Can you imagine sitting in a church business meeting, Scott, and there's a decision on the table, and somebody speaks to it this way, not out of personal preference, but they'll say something like this: "I'm not sure. I'm sure that this is a good thing for us to do, but I'm not sure that is really what God told us to do with the vision that He's given us for this." That is an amazing thing to think that people are so sold to the vision that even all of the major decisions of the church are falling into place through that filter, what God has laid on the heart of that congregation.
That's right. That's right. And we have to have alignment, and we can't do everything. And we have to ask God, based on the vision He's given us for the church, what are the best things? And then what are maybe some good things, but they don't need to be on the front burner right now because God's given us this vision. And this kind of leads to the last one. This is going to happen when you're visionary. And I know this is not the politically correct one necessarily, but it's just a reality that we need to be prepared for. Mark, some people are going to leave the church. Yes. When there is a vision cast and they're going a certain direction that the Lord leads them, you need to be prepared for spiritual warfare. That doesn't mean, Pastor, that you need to be unloving and that you need to necessarily, quote unquote, run people off. But be aware that some people are going to leave the church because that's not going to be the vision that they have, and they're just going to need to move on.
I love what you said there, Scott, because sometimes we can get so excited about a godly vision that we're not really emotional about who's coming with us. We need to take everybody with us, but there is a reality that when we go a certain direction, there's not everybody's going to make the journey. All right. No. And so, but can I give a positive there, man? I have found this true in my ministry, Scott. I hope that you back this up in yours is that God brings new people on the journey with us. And that number has always outnumbered those that have left. You always replace the resources, always replace the bodies. It's just when we say yes to God's vision, God takes care of the people that are going to bring Him with us.
And here's another one, Mark. I had one person at Steelville that came to me, and basically they said, "I'm leaving the church." But they didn't mean they were physically leaving. They said, "This version of me is leaving the church." They were saying that I realize I've had some things that I thought were what the church should be, and they're not right. So I'm asking God to make a new me. And you talk about some tears flowing. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us are that way, you know, and I think God always wants to make us into a new and better leader as pastors. And when we can keep people, that's what we should strive to do. But when people do leave, then sometimes you need to let them go. And there's a great book, When to Walk Away, that's mm-hmm. out there. Sometimes you just do need to walk away when people are toxic and just pray for them, but move on. So that's just a reality of being a visionary church. And now let's talk about vision casting, Mark. I know we've got some questions coming in. Jack's going to have what are some processes that we go through when we've asked God to give us the vision. Now we've got it. How do we cast it?
Let me tell you, the top one is the best one, I think. Here it is. The best vision tool, the best way to be a vision caster is with your life. You know, mm-hmm. you are a vision brochure, pastor, leader. You're the one that this is what you talk about. It seeps into every conversation that you have. You're living it out. And tell you what, it's really fresh for us to be around church planters because it seems like those are the guys that seem to ooze more with vision, and they're just contagious. What's another one, Scott?
Ooh, yeah, that's true. And then as we're vision casting, we have to use visual images. So, you know, whatever the aspects of the vision the Lord has given you, whether you're in your sermons or in your teaching, if you are able to help people have a mental picture of what it looks like. You know, what does it look like for a family to be saved if that's part of your vision? If it is a building, I think it's great to have a visual representation of what the Lord has led you to build. But one thing you can remind your people is this is what God's given us. It may not end up looking exactly like this, just like Walt Disney. I think he had amazing plans. I'm mm-hmm. sure it didn't turn out exactly like he originally envisioned it, but the main parts of it did come to pass. In our context, and obviously in the most important context, seeing people saved, whatever that vision is, you need to have specific mental imagery that you can call to people's minds that stirs their hearts.
Here's the next one. The next one is ministries. And this is a good check for you because we think a vision sometimes might be building physical things like I've led in the first unit building. I've led in an expansion of the building. And when we were expanding the building, what we offered as the vision wasn't the building. It was what was going to happen inside the building. And so going with, paying for bricks and 2x4s and siding, we started ministries that would actually happen within that facility. And so that after that building was built, we never celebrated the structure. We kept celebrating what God was doing inside it. And that's that, right. That really came to be the case. And so make sure the vision's got to cast in the ministries that we create.
That's exactly right, Mark. And when you are casting that vision, I think every pastor I've ever talked to, once God has given them a vision, it's easier to preach. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what part of the Bible they're in, they can lace their preaching with the vision that God has given them. So, and again, I think that's, again, why you said, Mark, the vision doesn't need to be centered around bricks and mortar or centered around any material things. That might be part of accomplishing the vision, but the vision needs to be centered around reaching people. That specific vision of reaching people, that snapshot, when you have that in your mind, it's easier to preach and you can work, you can show people why we're working toward this vision in that scripture, how it applies.
Absolutely. What's the next one here, Scott? What about sermons?
Well, I think with your preaching, like I said, the content, I think it really ties in with your application. So, mm-hmm. in other words, wherever you are in the scripture, it's easier to preach. It's easier to come up with that application of God's word when you're able to apply it toward accomplishing mm-hmm. that specific vision that the Lord has given you. And again, it just flows. I think it's the difference between preaching because you have to, so to speak, and also preaching because it's the overflow of your relationship with the Lord. When you've got that vision, you've got to utilize that sermon time week in, week out, not just one vision Sunday, but every week.
Now, we've kind of given one vision Sunday a bad rap, and we've also given vision statements a bad rap. But we want you to know that vision Sunday and vision statements are all good ways of communicating, casting the vision. It's just not the vision. So we do recommend you write the vision down, right? Mm-hmm. Write it down. Make sure it's compelling. Hey, talk to folks about us. If you're thinking about a vision statement, we'd love to talk to you about your vision statement. In fact, Scott and I, we've been through a lot of visioning over the last 12 months as IBSA has been walking through a visioning process. And so we'd be very, very happy to talk to you about a vision statement and telling you the truth about, man, is this exciting? Does this inspire us? Is this compelling? What does it mean? What does it say? We'd be happy to walk through that. How about annual staff evaluations? What is that all about?
Well, and some of you pastors may say, well, I don't do evaluations of my staff because I have volunteers. Well, what you can do is in your monthly meetings with your church council or with your leadership team, just bring the vision into that. And so let the vision that God gives you determine your goals, your objectives. Let it determine the metrics that you have, the measures that you have of, are we reaching people or are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we working toward this vision that the Lord has given us? So just let that permeate what you do in those different processes to evaluate. That's what that means.
That's right. And use language and use metaphors. We use metaphors here on the IBSS staff all the time. And we know what they mean because we're able to use those. Let me give you an example of one. When I was a church planter in the 90s, and so it's been a while, but here was our metaphor. We wanted to be a minivan church. We saw a parking lot full of minivans. And we just allow that to be our perspective because in the 90s, every family had a minivan, all right? And and we knew who was in that minivan. So we developed ministries for the minivan church, you know? And so it showed you kind of where we were. Now that won't work for everybody, but that sure worked for us. It gave us a picture of who we were trying to be and who we were trying to reach in our context.
You saw that minivan and you saw that family. You saw all those families come into Christ and that stirred your heart.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, we'd go out in the parking lot and count them. How many minivans are sitting out there? Because, that was just where we were right there in life.
That's good.
How about newcomers? How can we use a newcomers class, Scott, to share the vision?
I tell you, that one really is dear to my heart because that was some of the sweetest time that I had pastoring Steelville. I had a 4 to 6 week pastor's new member class that others helped me teach, but I was there with them almost, you know, every Sunday, and I would start it over and over again. And that's when people who were visiting the church came in to connect with me and the other leaders, and they learned what our vision was. So by the end of that 4 to 6 weeks, they understood what they were joining. By the way, we presented the gospel. We had many salvations in that class, you mm-hmm. know, sharing the gospel because we were able to have a gospel conversation. But by the end of that time, they were able to catch the church's vision. They understood the mission. They understood our doctrine. So that newcomers class, whether you lead it, Pastor, or you have a team that leads it, I encourage you somehow be a part of that because that is such a great time to bond with new folks in your church and help them catch the vision that you have.
The last one is brochure, and that's a very old word, all right? But what the author was trying to tell us is that use all of your publications, social media, your video that you're going to create that kind of depicts what happens in the church, any publication that your church puts out, make sure that vision is you know, very evident in all of those publications so that people kind of know, hey, who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and just let it flow through how you are presenting yourselves as well. Because I guarantee it, you know, people are looking there first, and they're making decisions to join you or not based upon kind of what you're presenting and how you're presenting yourself in the midst of that process. And so make sure you're doing that right and doing it mm-hmm. to the best of your ability. Absolutely.
That media and think of your website as kind of dressing up for your Sunday best. And then your social media is important too, the more informal communication, and all of that needs to flow out of your vision. So do what you can. And if we can help you with that, we're here to help you with it. One more Absolutely. Reminder, Mark, as Jack comes on to with any questions that we have, just these two Bible verses again. This is why it's important. We just wanted to circle back around to God's word as we kind of move toward questions. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have vision so people stay focused and ask God and let's have a close relationship with the Lord. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hey, Jack, it's good to have you with us.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. We do have a couple of questions here. This first one you guys have kind of hit on in your last segment, but I wondered if you might have an additional answer to this question. One of our pastors asked, what is the best way to get people to buy into the pastor's vision? And like I said, you kind of addressed a lot of ways of doing that. Is there one that maybe stands out or one that you maybe is a preference for you?
Let me go first, Scott, and then you jump into it. First, I'd say is, pastor, make sure that it's not just the pastor's vision. Make sure it's the church's vision. And so absolutely, a church will need to have leadership in helping to develop a vision, but get there in the same pace, all right? Bring them with you. If you allow them to be a part of a visioning process, it's a whole lot easier to find buy-in to get them to go with you. So make sure it's a shared vision of the church on the beginning, and it's not just something that you would like to do kind of on your own, and you're hoping everybody would buy into it. I realize that you may not be saying that, but I just want to warn you with that. Scott, any word?
I just reiterate what you say, Mark, but I will tell you, and I think all of us identify with this together as pastors. We are impatient people. We all want it all to happen yesterday. And places where the Lord's called me, I can remember having God given me the things that He wanted me to do and wanting it all to happen at once. But just like you said, Mark, there's so much value instead of you just telling people what the vision is, seeking the Lord together about it and listening together as the community of believers. That takes longer on the front end, but man, it pays off in the long term when you have that vision together. Now, you're going to have to give direction. And then I would just say, back to that list, go back over that list. I think all of those things that Malfers talks about are key, and it can't just be one Sunday a year that you talk about the vision. It's got to permeate everything you do.
Let me recommend a book, Jack, and Pastor, if you're listening and maybe funds are limited and you don't, you can't afford one more book, please contact us and see if we can't help you with that. But the book that I've read recently is Who Stole My Church by Gordon MacDonald. Boy, that is a dynamic way of how a pastor can find buy-in to his church. So Who Stole My Church by Gordon MacDonald. Be happy to talk with you about that book. Jack, are there any other questions?
Yes, we have a couple more. This next one relates to something that you guys had mentioned. It was asked, you said the vision has to be future focused. Could it be a revisioning or a fresh look at something familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think even a revisioning or a new way of looking at something familiar is also future focused.
Absolutely.
So, it could be just repackaging. It could be saying, look, you know, God gave us this vision 10 years ago. We have not fulfilled that vision. We still feel that this is what God wants us to do. But now we have new information, and we're going to go at it this way, and we're going to see that this thing that God gave us a while back is going to be accomplished. So yeah. I still think it's future focused, even though it might be looking back. Scott? Yes.
I agree. And I think one of the reasons we do need to go back and revisit, even if it's not a complete complete change, but it may be a fine tuning, is it's just human nature, isn't it, for us to lose interest in something after a certain period of time. We see that cycle in the book of Judges where the people just drifted and God had to bring them back. He had to let them go into captivity. And so that I think that's that idea of perpetual revitalization, that we ask God to give us a fresh vision. And that's really what revival is. Help us fall in love with Him again. Help us to have that fresh vision. We've got to have that every few years. But absolutely, revisiting what you already have is part of that process.
Appreciate that. Guys, last thing I've got, and Mark already mentioned one, and if you guys don't mention the one I've got in mind, I might offer one at the end as well. That was asked, what is a resource you would recommend specifically for casting and implementing vision?
Good. Name yours, Scott. I'll name mine. And Jack, name yours.
There's a bunch of them. And I think what we'll do, too, is in the email we send out today. And by the way, we're putting these emails on the website now. I'm excited about that to give you a resource library. But to me, I think I know this sounds old fashioned a little bit, Mark, but just experiencing God. If you've not gone through that, anytime I've gone through experiencing God in my life, the Lord has stirred up vision in my heart and He's called me to do new things. And I went through experiencing God in my first year of ministry 20 years ago. I was sitting up at night in the hospital. My grandfather had pancreatic cancer, and we were doing experiencing God at the first church I served at on Wednesday night. That has transformed my life. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage that as a great resource. And we've got that study you can check out from our resource library and look for more things related to experiencing God coming from our revitalization team in the future. That's just one.
I love that resource, Scott, because they put a brand new cover on it. So it's got a brand new cover on it, and it looks brand new, but it's the same thing we used back in 1993. And so
it's just timeless.
You know, Jack, honestly, the best vision book that I think that I ever read or was spoke mostly to me was Barna's book on vision. And that's an old book, but it defined it really clearly for me in the pastorate. And it really defines it as a bridge from where you are to where God wants you to be and how to get there. And man, it just made sense to me. So Barna's book on vision, I think, really captured my heart as far as the definition of it. What's your book, Jack?
Mine is one that I'm currently working through with some of our pastors and having a great time doing that. It's Church Unique by Will Mancini. Absolutely loving it. In there, Mancini talks about discovering your kingdom concept and gives some very practical steps as to how you can go about discovering what your church can do better than 10,000 other churches. Mm-hmm. It's not about finding all the things you can do, but finding that one thing that God has uniquely equipped your church to do. And so I would highly recommend that book.
All right, guys, if you're listening to the broadcast today and you heard those resources, you knew who recommended it, go ahead and call Jack up and ask him if he can provide that Church Unique book for you. All right. Talk to Scott about experiencing God. And man, I don't even know if my book's still in print. All right. So I'll tell you what.
And like I said, we'll look for the links for all these resources. And one encouragement about the Will Mancini resources, he has titles that make you think.
Absolutely. But really,
He's doing with that book is he's taking experiencing God principles and applying it to church life. That's really what it is when you get into it. It's the same with his personal unique book that he has. So I encourage you to check out what Will Mancini has to say. He loves the Lord and he loves the church.
Guys, that's our broadcast for today. Let me just add one more thing as we wind up is that our purpose here wasn't just to give you information. Our purpose here was to provide you with a guide. And so we'd be very, very happy to walk with you through the visioning process if that would be a benefit to you. Be very excited about that. Or just to take your phone call and talk about vision and just share in your excitement. Next revitalization webinar is going to be September the 16th, and we're going to look at chapter 11. All right. Scott, tell us a little bit about the refocus assessments really quick.
Yes. And that is, you know, we want to remind you now that we're pulling out of this disruption time of 2020 and looking toward the future. We want to come alongside you to help assess you as leaders, and we want to coach you. And what's great is, Mark, we're learning from you guys, too. It's a mutual relationship. We're thankful for the relationships we have with you and the pastor. So let us know. For $199, you're going to get assessed as a leader, a confidential assessment of you of a leader, and then also your church. And then we're going to come alongside you, coach you, and help you to grow with customized resources just for you. And then you can go even deeper for years to come. We just want to walk with you as we ask God to give us vision and carry that out.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us on our webinar today. Please contact us. We'd love to help you. We'd love to help you walk through vision. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening. To learn more, please email Scott Foshee at ibsa.org. This ministry is provided by the Illinois Baptist State Association through your faithful cooperative program giving. May God richly bless you.